Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
To the sky.
Keep your head.
Keep your
scattered throughout the four corners of this, what should I say, doomed world. I'm looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, and a few of y'all making it into the kingdom with me. I'm not going to be presumptuous to think I make it, but every day, like the hip-hop rappers said, every day I'm hustling. I'm hustling to keep these commandments. I'm hustling to try and better myself and not let others affect or impact me. You know somebody to keep you out the kingdom, just like they did Moses. So don't let your circumstances or your finances, your people around you, or anything else keep you out the kingdom. Stay focused, Zion. Stay focused. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesday on the 4th of your lives. And we're going to get it in today about these heathens. We're going to open up the platform, open up the line. Be joined by a few of the other brothers that might want to call in. sisters that might want to call in. We normally have a Bible study platform. We may get into the continuation of the Micah series. But however, when I look out my window and all I see is pace, I got some things to say. Because this is the first 4th of July with Donald Trump as president. And you can feel it in the atmosphere that there's a lot of pride about that red, white, and blue. But we'll get into that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for waking us up. We ask that you give us a good day, and that our people will stay focused on you and not these lies, and not be tempted to go eat some barbecue and watch fireworks because they're bored. This should be the time that we should let our light shine. We're asking you to bring that about. Bless our time together. Speak through us, help us to encourage one another and to uplift one another and to be positive and understand we represent you in all that we do. Teach us when to speak, when not to speak. Teach us to let our light shine and to also be an example to these other nations, because we do know that you have some that are called by your name that will come out from amongst them. So in the name of our dear brother Yeshua, we pray and we ask that you unleash the angels on behalf of your people to perform miracles for them that are of little faith. In the name of Yeshua, so be it. Hallelujah. Deacon Abiram. Abiram, I hope you're not standing over there with Dathan and Korah.
Oh, no, I'm here. You know, I forget being retired. I knew it was 4th of July this week, but I forgot today's the holiday or whatnot. Any day that I'm able to see and for waking me up and thank him for all that he does and helping us with the struggle. Because just like you mentioned, we don't want to let anybody keep us out of the kingdom. And, you know, it's a daily chore to make sure we keep ourselves right, because, you know, there's with the world against us and these things that are coming against us, meaning we are Yah's children. It's a chore. Make sure that you stay right. I heard Sister Tamar in the background. I said, oh, that's right, it's a holiday.
and you heard me in the background, so you know I was at home. You something else.
Yes.
Something else.
I thank the Most High for letting me see another day.
Well, we're glad you're here to see another day. I know how it is when you retire.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, I went out to get me some coffee, and I was like one of the only black persons out there in Pete's Coffee. So the flags are strong, and the pride is strong. But, you know, I don't express hate. The main thing that I want to open up the line for people to be able to call in. If you're listening online, why don't you call in today? Don't listen online. I want you to participate, and we'll just make this an open chat special for a few hours since you're off work. And the call-in number is 213-769-0910. It's not an expression of hate today. It's an expression of the facts. That's all we want to talk about, are the facts. And the facts is that we were still in bondage. We were still slaves. Frederick Douglass wrote a book during that time. We were the Roman candles. We were the fireworks. We were hung. We were lynched. Because they don't do it anymore, trust me that this process and this ritual started that way, and it's deeply embedded into the culture of what today is all about and what it consists of. We know what made this country great for you to have an Independence Day, but what most people don't know is that 1776 also was the year that the Illuminati was formed. So there was a lot of things set in motion, and we don't want to be a part of that in any capacity. Trust me, the Father's watching. So are the angels. So if you'd like to call in, express yourself, share some stories, you can do so at 213-769-0910. And I can tell you, as long as I've been in this walk, well over 10 years, I don't miss the barbecue pork, don't miss the fireworks, don't miss the drunkenness. Don't miss any of it. Glad to be focused during these times and not wavering like a leaf in the wind, shaking, scared, nervous, scared of myself, scared of what I would do or what I won't do. So you know, Abraham, there's a lot to this day, but it's getting to the point where what we're talking about as far as not letting people impact you, I'm getting close to the time where it's time for us to maybe consider. We can't deliver ourselves, but I'm hearing a lot of stories of people actually trying to get closer within the diaspora. And I don't know if they're doing it out of fear or they just want to eliminate some of the stress in their lives, because it's Most High doesn't have a problem with you wanting to tone down all the stress and duress in your life that comes from being here in America. You know, our kids walk outside scared of the police, scared of being lynched, chased, scared of black-on-black violence. There's fear. And some people want to just try to remove themselves from the fear while they're waiting on the Messiah to come and redeem them. And I don't see a problem with that. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about the Most High watching us. I'm glad you mentioned the angels, too, because, as you know, they're making their report to the Most High, you know, on what we're doing. And
you remember that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Make sure we're on the right path or whatnot. So,
Yeah, you know, and we should remember that when we pray to the Father, He does send those angels to take care of us, deliver us, protect us. Even Yeshua said, if I wanted to, I could call my daddy and he'd send 10,000 angels to handle this business. And we don't realize we have that same luxury
forth. But what did he say? He said, your will be done. I know he could have had them do that, but he knows it's the Father's will that had to be done.
Yeah, in that particular instance, he did. But he did do that. He did not decide to call for backup. He said, I got to take care of this business. And there's a key point in that as well, understanding that he's not going to be outside of his will just because you want him to do something, because we out of control. We want him to, we'll ask him to send angels every day just because somebody pisses us off.
Exactly.
And he's going down. I'm actually trying to I'm trying to work on you and show you and fix you. You got the attitude, because if you are easily moved by what other people do, that means those buttons haven't been taken out of your life. Somebody can easily press your buttons because you haven't given them to the Messiah. So we still
all
need to deliver ourselves. Hmm?
All up in your feelings. People are all up in their feelings.
You know, I'm finding out also, Brother D, you know, people predisposed to high blood pressure, people on medication, they have short fuses. They're quick to go off because of certain other things that can cause them to stress out a lot quicker, which is why we talk about health and we try to stay away from the pork. And, you know, I'm really starting to realize that I'm going to stay out of these restaurants as well, because they're putting pork on the grill, pork on the, you know, I saw something on Hell's Kitchen. I watched the commercial. I don't watch that show, but they were showing a commercial of one of the worst kitchens he ever went in, and he's going to shut this restaurant down. And I just began thinking of how many places in America that don't clean their kitchens and have roaches and rats and don't get the grease up and use the same grease for months and don't actually clean stuff, and that pork, that residue is getting in the food, and we think we're eating healthy. And then we wonder why we can't fight off certain sicknesses and diseases. We'll say, I'm eating better, I'm keeping the commandments. What's going on? There's a lot that we have to do to take care of ourselves.
Well, yeah, just like they caught that one restaurant, they're washing their dishes in the dirty rain outside, and they're trying to save on their water bill and whatnot. And matter of fact, my son and his friend was in some Chinese fast food place the other day. Both of them came out sick. My son's in there throwing up and everything else. Like I said, you have to watch these places. Try and stay out of them. Because, if they got some kind of buffet going, things like that, they're cutting all kind of corners.
Right. And then there's another one where I got to go ahead and let the people know that everybody's becoming vegetarians, think they're doing so much better, but there's a new chemical that's being used, like Roundup. It's called glyphosate. Glyphosate is linked to a number of different cancers. So
that's probably why they're saying that the glyphosate cancer numbers are going to go up, because people are eating so many damn vegetables and stuff that they're getting, they're picking up this chemical that causes a multiplicity of cancers, blood cancer, even the lymph nodes, Hodgkin's lymphoma, bone marrow cancer. And it's all from Monsanto's Roundup weed killer, and they're spraying it on the crops, plants, watermelons, everything. And I'm starting to notice that the fruits, even this year, are a lot different. We're not getting that good stuff. And so you're going to have to be more mindful of even how you treat the vegetables and fruits you bring home, that they need to be washed and scrubbed and try to get some of this stuff off and start getting more into daily cleanses and weekly cleanses just to kind of fight the cancer. Because the rates are definitely going to go up. So don't fall into the trends. Everybody's a vegetarian, you're going to be a vegetarian. Everybody's eating salmon, you're going to eat salmon. Everybody's doing, just don't fall into the trends. We have to keep our focus on the Most High and what He wants for our lives. When we start doing that, that helps to also pull us up out of the world, so we're not overcome with what is everybody else doing today, because that's what I'm doing, or what you got going on. Because, you know, Hebrews have a tendency on holidays to call, what y'all doing? Y'all playing dominoes? Well, let's kick it. Anything you do today on that level, you know, you easily influence to start getting involved with the other festivities of the day. So let's just be mindful, Hebrews. Okay, Deacon Abraham.
Yeah, I'm here.
Making sure you're still there. We're going to go to Black.
This whole, as you realize, there's more and more ways, more and more people getting cancer here. As many, they are cutting out of corners. They're doing things they know can cause sickness. But in this world, the prevalent thing is mammon. You know, got to make that money, and you know, not spend time with the Most High. We got to make that money. And like I said, there's just a an explosion with the love of money in these days.
Right.
As we knew it would be, as the scripture tells us.
All right, I'm here. Let's go into Micah, the fifth chapter.
Okay.
I wanted to play a clip about 10 minutes long. I'll probably play it another day. One of the brothers on off of Facebook, who's a Hebrew who lives in Guam, shared some Guamanian history that I did not know about. So I didn't really understand what it meant to be, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and Guam. They belong to the U.S., but they're not actual U.S. territories. They can't participate in elections, and they just have military bases in these places, not police departments and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of our Hebrews fled to Guam. We have quite a few living down there in exile with some of these other people. And these people were raped, killed, and beaten by the Japanese during Pearl Harbor. And that didn't stop until, U.S. came back in and ran the Japanese out from killing, raping, beating the people, chopping off heads. And then after that, the U.S. came and took all their land, made them homeless, and had them pretty much living in the jungle just so that they could build bases. And they won't give them any money, any reparations. A lot of protests down there. But there's a lot of Hebrews moving down there just to get away from what's happening in the immediate U.S. So you have the sovereign protection of the United States, but you're not really dealing with the states like we have to deal with it. So I just thought that was interesting. That's why I mentioned that thing about I don't have a problem with people wanting to move to different areas. That's on you. Your lifestyle is going to change. The money, how you eat, there's some pros and cons, but you have to be prepared for that. So I'll probably, if I get an opportunity, play this clip at another time. It's about a 10-minute clip of some history I did not know about, as it pertains to that area, that little area that Rocket Man tried to send a bomb over there, and he was able to reach Guam. So we'll get into that at another time. All right, you ready to go to Micah 5?
Yes.
Huh?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm at Micah 5.
Go ahead.
Verse 1. Now gather thyself in truce, O daughter of troops, he hath laid siege against us, and shall smite the judge of Israel with the rod upon the cheek. Verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that to be a ruler in Israel. Going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Verse 3. Therefore, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth? Then the remnant of this of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel.
Listen to that. That's Bible prophecy being fulfilled right there. Let's take that into consideration. It says that, let's read that again. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. So we've been given up until that time. And then the remnant of the brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And not all of this is prophetic. Micah is very, very prophetic. When you read that first part, and you read verse 3, this passage describes Israel will be vindicated, and that's us. But that's at the end of the tribulation. That's what this is talking about. We're going to get into it more. The Assyrian represents Israel's enemy, so it's not just Assyria. Prophecies can be remote and present. So our enemy is during the tribulation. Many people vacillate about if we're in Jacob's trouble, if we're going into Jacob's trouble, we're coming out of Jacob's trouble, you know, because it is far worse than we know in other areas, because the 10 tribes are over there in the Africas. Only Benjamin and Judah have been scattered to the four corners. So when you begin to watch the BBC, watch other news, and see the atrocities happening to our people that look just like your cousins, you realize that, no, we are in Jacob's trouble. We're being killed. We're being slaughtered. After they killed Gaddafi, they ran Hebrews out of Libya who were trying to flee to Israel to save their lives. And don't think the same thing probably didn't happen over there in Guam and everywhere else. Look at what's happening in Puerto Rico. They can give a damn about what's going on with those people and what happened after the storm. Look at what's happening in Haiti. They could give a damn about those people. So we have to be mindful of the time period. But when we read these books of prophets, we have to know that we're dealing with remote prophecies, and we have to be able to discern and understand what the book is saying. Let's go ahead and go to the fourth verse.
Okay. And as far as, the 10 tribes, they've always known where the 10 tribes, they're talking about the lost 10 tribes. They know that if all you have to read and you find out that they escaped into Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4.
They found out that Brazilians have 78% European blood in them. So there's a very minute chance. Now, I'm not going to get into this thing right now because I realize that Satan is race baiting and we're participating in it on a Hebrew level. But the problem is that for some reason or another, back in the early 80s and 90s, everybody ascribed to that chart without doing their due diligence and making sense of this whole thing. Fact of the matter is that, no, a lot of these people aren't Hebrews, but if they're keeping the commandments, they all right with me. If they're keeping the holy days, they all right with me, because we got some dark-skinned folks that don't want to hear nothing about the commandments, the holy days, none of that. Matter of fact, they got the ribs marinating right now, box full of firecrackers, and they could give a damn about these holy days because they want to keep the holidays and the religion that America beat into them while their forefathers were in slavery, and that's what they're going to hold on to. This day, their religion, their Jesus, has nothing to do with us. And anybody that converts and follows us has to understand that and acknowledge that. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What's ironic is, you know, this is supposedly celebrating the Constitution, but you look during all of those protests and during the football season, they're upset because you got Hebrews kneeling because of the fact that we're not afforded the same protections under the Constitution. They talk about they love the Constitution, and they're upset that they're exercising their constitutional rights. I mean, this is it's hypocritical is what it is. I mean, because they think that the Constitution is actually just for them.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That was the key point about Guam, Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico, is that the Constitution is not recognized in those places, but it belongs to America, but the Constitution is not enforced, and they cannot vote. And I did not know all of that, so I wanted to bring that out, too. That's why I'm going to have to play that clip, because it's some good historical information sent to me by a Hebrew who left America and lives down there. But a lot of people have to join the military, just like the people that fled to Israel. They have to join the military. And I don't know if you saw, they had a big party at the American embassy. They went inside and had a party. And they combined they had the party, the opening, and 4th of July all combined. And nothing but the Edomites talking about, oh, America's great. I love Israel and America. Happy 4th of July. We doing it big. I'm telling you, I can sense the rumbling amongst the people that, they feel like they're achieving some type of status in the earth, and they're attributing it all to Donald Trump. And so this is getting very interesting to me. And as you talked about the football, let me say this real quick, give it to you. Joshua just posted this morning on Facebook that one of the football players that took a knee, Bennett for the Seattle Seahawks, said, you know what? It's not so much about what you do on the field and taking a knee. He said it's about what you do after the game and in the community. And I thought that was powerful because, see, the knee don't mean a damn thing. These rich-ass football and basketball players need to go to the hood and take care of some families and take care of their people. And find somebody that can go in there and teach the truth to them and bring them out of this European Christianity and teach them some truth. So, yeah, I'm not tripping on a knee either, because studies have shown that they're imitating, we'll pull this up real quick, imitating the god Hermes by taking the one knee. That was something that was started in Greek mythology and folklore.
It's better if, you know, they did what they started to do, because initially, you know, as you saw, they were just sitting down, but then they got together, supposedly with some military people, saying, you know, this is, we want to be respectful. No, we're not trying to be respectful of this, of all of this, and the flag and everything else, because of the fact that we're not given the same rights. We're not being protected. And so, you know, If why should you compromise just to show them any kind of respect by kneeling? If you do anything,
you know, they brought a lot of attention to themselves, but now it's time to take it to the next level. So the next level is that if they go beyond what the people who are paying them tells them to do, the team owners, these people that own their contracts, and break all that and start giving back to the people and taking care of their people in the community, then they're really taking it to the next level.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, but that's just it. A lot of the Hebrews that have this money is either reluctant or are to spend this money to help out their communities that are less fortunate, and to go in and do things that are substantial.
Mhm. Okay, we can
keep
going.
Here we're at verse 5.
Yeah.
Okay, and this man shall be the peace. When the Assyrians shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our places, our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. See verse 6. And they shall waste the land of the Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod, and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from Assyria when he come into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders.
Let's get into that, because there's eschatological meaning. So it's not actually meaning when you get into remote prophecy and he talks about Assyria and delivering us. He's talking about the king of the north and the king of the south. And that's when it takes the eschatological meanings. It corresponds to the fact that they are actual historical figures. So if he's talking about delivering us and delivering the remnant and getting us back home, we know that as we get into Jacob's trouble, what he's going to pull us out of. But I'll let you go ahead and keep reading because it's going to start to break that down. Go ahead.
Okay, verse 7. And a remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people.
What?
As they do the most hard of the most of them from the most high. As he
Hold on, Brother D. I know you can't just read right by that.
I was just trying to read off before we went back there. But, yeah, go ahead, though.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you read all of 7, and then we got to get into that. Go ahead.
As the showers upon the grass that teareth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men.
We are described in Micah 5 and 7 as the remnant are scattered everywhere as dew. People don't even realize that the dew in the morning that covers the grass and these plants gives life. So that's what gives us the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are as the dew. And then when you, I don't know if you've ever woke up early in the morning and see dew on the cars, the plants, the leaves, the trees, and this is how we've been described by the prophet. We're as the dew of the Lord and as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man. They don't wait on man. We don't wait on the sons of men. It just happens, and it's consistent, and it's acknowledged, and it has to be acknowledged. What I'm saying to you is that these other nations know who we are, and they see us, and they know we're going to keep on doing what we're doing. This is why I urge people to not be spiteful, hateful, mean, bitter. Don't forget them angels are taking notes. According to the Testament and Revelation of Shaul, of Paul, and Peter, these angels are watching what you do, and it says, be careful how you entertain strangers. We have to become better people. We don't like our condition. We don't like how we're being treated. We don't like what's happening, but the curses are only upon the ones that don't want to keep the commandments, that don't want to be obedient. So you got to wake up your people first and foremost, and then anybody else want to get in where they fit in, that's all they can do. But we have to warn our people to get the curses off them so they can participate in being a part of the remnant. And this go ahead.
In everything, it's the Jew first and then the Gentile, whether it be punishment, whether it be reward, whatever, you know, especially when it comes to these curses, that the Most High is going to chastise his own first.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're the only ones that he gave these commandments to.
I mean, for years, you know, us not knowing who this book was speaking about, and the people that had control of it, was, you know, they were just willy nilly misinterpreting it all over the place. It wasn't until the Most High woke us up and we realized that this is our book, and we started the revelation was to come to us for the interpretation of this book.
Right. And they've changed it around so much. I'm upset at other nations trying to decide what book is inspired, what book is of Yah, what book should we read, what book should be in the Bible. It's not your business. I'm reading everything.
Yeah, what gave them that authority?
Nobody gave him that authority. Who the hell do you think you are to tell me what book I should read or what book from my people comes from the Most High when you don't even know him and you're not even connected to him? You're not even his people to sit down and determine what should be in a book. So I'm not going to sit down here and worship any particular book. I don't put 1611 up like, oh, I worship 1611. No, I'm studying to show myself approved because Solomon said, as far as the writing of books, there is no end in learning and reading and studying, you grow weary. At the end of the day, fear Yah and keep his commandments. So anything that helps me to keep these commandments and solidify what I believe in, that's what I'm reading and that's what I'm learning and that's what I'm putting in my spirit. It's another way of mind control to sheeple. People who are asleep will listen to anything anybody says to them.
That's right.
You're talking about the Council of Nicaea. That was the Council of Edomites. There's no Hebrews in there deciding all of this because those books were talked about, read, distributed, or read throughout the Hebrew society, and so they can't just decide what kind. We don't want you reading this book anymore. You don't need to read it. The reason they did that because they're hiding certain things from you that aided in them being able to keep you asleep.
Right, because Brother Abiram, I'm hearing about so many books now that I'm getting my hands on, and it's exciting. And, you know, I've read the Kepler and the Gas. We know that the Ethiopic Bible costs $18,000. We know that a lot of our records were sent down there as we begin to flee. We know this stuff, and then you want to tell me don't read it because of this, that. Your mind has been programmed on what you let in.
Because
your mind is programmed. You have to let the programming go away. And I'll tell you if you're, I'll tell you right now if you're programmed and you can't receive extra information from Yah. If you're sitting up watching TV every day, molding 2-3 hours, if you constantly eating bad, not working out, if you got a bunch of negative people around you, let me see your friends, I'll tell you who you are. And the next one is you constantly listening to the world's music, everything. You are programmed because subliminally there is information being put into your psyche, your spirit, and you're dreaming it and letting it become a part of your life. Even when you wake up and suddenly want to buy certain clothes, eat certain things, go a certain place, it's because at night in your dreams, through commercials, through subliminal programming, you're being pushed to go down a certain direction. But at the same time, while you're being pushed and programmed, you're being told, don't read those books. Don't read that book. Don't read the Old Testament. That book ain't even in the Bible. Why are you reading that? Don't read that. That's a trick. But you can't see it. Satan is subtle. For the last Saturday and this Saturday, we're breaking down demons, how they operate, and their strategies and what they do. And a lot of people scared of demons, and they don't even want to hear it. That's because you're a programmed Negro or a programmed Edomite, wherever you are, other nation. You're programmed. That's why when you immediately shut down conversation that will elevate you into the truth, the spirits that have you bound, soon as the truth, like water, like dew, like sprinkles, begins to come into your life, the spirit inside you gets uncomfortable and tells you to shut all that down. Turn the TV up louder. Get away from them. Take a walk. Curse them out. Flip them off. Cause confusion so that they seem like they don't know what they're talking about. Those are spirits at work. I tell y'all all the time, people with demons don't necessarily spit out green pea soup and head spin around 360. No. When Satan knows he has you, he puts you at rest because he's like, I got this person. I'm not even tripping. All they're going to do is go to Sunday church and read, not going to even read the Bible. They're just going to carry it and wait to see what pastor's saying.
Yeah. Well, instead of the Council of Nicaea, Jesus aptly named themselves the Council of Edomites because that's what they are. They were a bunch of wicked Edomites, just getting in there with knives, carving up the word, and deciding who can read this and who can read that. And what you need to realize too is that the people that had access to control them books, they were the elite.
And why did they have access? Because every time they conquered us and ran us out, they grabbed more records.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially down in Greece, talking about all the things that started in Greece. They stole all of our records and brought them down to Greece. Because,
right.
You know, they didn't have the record keeping, the language that the Hebrews carried.
That's right. We had a language, we were civilized, we were organized. But then you had this other civilization that tried to come in called the Etruscans, all that Tuscany and Italian stuff. And they were tied into the Greeks and the Romans, and they kept a lot of culture, but they were keeping a lot of Hellenistic. They were doing the Hellenistic period, the Middle Ages, the Archaic Greece, Renaissance period. They were around, but they were trying to steal our books. They were helping with the whitewashing of the images on the wall. And I'm starting to it's just us understanding that people are simple as hell. Simple-minded people are around us. Common sense is not common, and the majority of people are blind.
Well, yeah, and that's why they spread the lie about, the people in Africa living in trees, living in huts and all that stuff, and they were the ones living in caves in
right.
Europe. We were building palaces and lies. Even such a small thing as bathing, it was something that we always did. You know, the Most High, we always tried to keep clean. But, you know, they were living in caves. And even afterwards, you know, there wasn't the frequent bathing as we would do.
Right. Sad to think that.
But and one other thing, you know, a lot of times, you know, we, you know, our ancestors, they built and lived in palaces, and early on, you know, over in Europe, they were living in, you know, supposed the so-called royalty was living in what was, you know, tantamount to a barn. It was nothing but a barn.
Right.
While we
were right.
Living in, while our ancestors were living in palaces.
Brothers and sisters, I just pray that we just start waking more of our people up so our Messiah will come back and get us, because it's really sad to think that we were such a great royal people that have been brought down to dust, to nothing,
well,
scattered.
You mentioned us taking care of our people. And I'm not doing this to, you know, to pat ourselves on the back. You know, we did go out this weekend and we gave out some things. I mean, we should all be trying to do that to help our people, the ones that are less fortunate, because I'm telling you, the feeling you get after doing that is just indescribable. I mean, it's indescribable, mm-hmm. because, in fact, you know you've helped your people.
And where do you think that feeling comes from? Some people say it's self-righteousness, but, you know, the Holy Spirit at that time confirms that you're doing the things that the Father wants you to do. Because I actually had somebody tell me that, well, in this dispensation that we're in, we don't have to do that anymore. And I immediately went to Isaiah 58 chapter, and then I came over to the New Testament that said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was cold, you didn't cover me. When I needed this, you didn't do it. And the disciples said, wait. When did we not do that for you? And he told them immediately, it's the ones that you walked by, such as you've done unto the least of them, you've done also unto me. So until you can realize your life is not your own and start caring about other people, I really don't want to hear your mouth, because we got a lot of people around us that complain about every dang thing. I don't have a lot of the things that I want right now, but I got everything I need right now.
What was our lesson a few weeks ago? Be content.
And that's a big word, brother. That's a big word, Brother Alvaron. That's a big word. That means be satisfied.
Yeah.
But you know why you're not satisfied? Let me go back to the programming. Every time you turn on that TV and see that Beamer or that 5-bedroom house or that lavish lifestyle and that favorite TV show you like watching, or all of the
I said, you're looking at that and that hot honey running across TV, all kind of stuff in there that'll pull you away from the Most High.
Watch out, Abiram. Don't tell on yourself. Watch out.
That's why most of the time my television is staring at me just totally black. I don't believe I have that. I've had, you know, maybe once, twice a month it might go on.
You know, sometimes in the morning I just, I like to turn the TV off. And then sometimes that news is just too much. I like to watch the news just to get some information. I'll watch movies. I want to go see this movie, The Purge. But you know why I'm doing it? You know why I want to see this movie called The Purge? And then we'll get back to Micah. Because I know it's the programming that they're putting on the other nations, and they're going to, that stuff is going in their spirit. People are actually wanting this purge thing to come into existence into America. These people got guns and they want to shoot them. And they want to get rid of people they can't stand for one day for 12 hours. And Hollywood and the government is getting ready to try to push this to happen. Because they want race war, nation against nation. So I am an agenda analyst, not a conspiracy theorist. That way I know how to pray, and I'm a watchman. And when I see things, the watchman has to warn our people so we know how to pray. But if you're not a watchman and you're just watching for entertainment and you're letting that spirit jump on you, your spirit will be troubled. You'll be snapping and barking and don't even know the hell why. Because at night, even at night, your spirit is roaming around in the spirit world, because your spirit never dies and never sleeps. Your body rests, and then your spirit and soul is still active.
and things happen in the spirit realm. This is why we have to practice the holy days and the commandments until the point where even our dreams. I tell you right now, in my dream last night, I walked out of a building and there was five Hebrews that were Jehovah Witnesses preaching. And I yelled at them, and I yelled at them so loud, I actually yelled out of my sleep. And probably woke my wife up, and I said, what the hell are y'all doing, you Hebrews? Why are you in a false religion like our people are in 10,000 other religions? Wake up, you Hebrews. And see, this has to consume you. I'm not preaching me. I'm preaching us. This has to consume you to the point where even in your sleep, you are preaching and teaching to people the commandments and to wake up and prepare ye the way. This has to consume you, but it can't if you're giving more time to the job, the TV, and to any other demon through people that's distracting. Because this
life's
gonna
no matter how obscure any little. New religion or whatever around the world, you'll find a Hebrew there in it because, I mean, that's why we fell into these curses to begin with, going after other gods. But like I said, no matter what kind of little funny, religion you got there's a Hebrew up in the bunch.
Man, 10,000 different versions of Christianity, and that's 10,000 different ways of trying to get to the Most High. Somebody's off. You ask me, it's all 10,000 up.
Yeah. I mean, and just like I said, that's what got us into this situation as we that we're in now. You know, going after other gods. And that'll be
you know what? A lot of our people know, but they're looking for the right way, which is why they're trying to demonize the ones who find out they're Hebrews and Israelites. And, I think we need to re-examine everything that came up out of the One West camps and what was taught to us earlier because they were compromised by CIA, FBI, COINTELPRO. Don't think that when COINTELPRO stepped in and dealt with the Black Panthers, they weren't aware of the One West camp that was preaching in the 70s or 80s that the Most High was returning. They got them too. So all these guys brought out a doctrine that we're all following. Where your friends is at? Most High, let me let you know something. That's a commandment that was given to us. But since we are under grace, he's not totally looking at what you do with the exterior. He's saying, what will you do with the inside? He's trying the reins of our heart. Mm-hmm. And that's the change he wants to see because he knows we're in captivity. You can't walk up into a brand new job with some fringes and a long ass beard and a head wrap and all that. You got to discuss that and let them know, well, this is a part of my religion. And if they said you can't wear it, I bet you're not going to wear it because you want to eat because you're in slavery. You're in captivity. Fringes can be a hazard to somebody's job who's a machinist that works on putting cars together. You can't wear things that hang off your clothing.
Yeah.
And you will include different things like that. You can't have a long beard. You can't have a long beard if you're working around food and things like that. So don't hit me with the foolishness because the majority of you Hebrews don't even have a job. And that's why you don't have a job.
And the thing is, you know, you can wear your fringes when you're out, you know, doing whatever, going here and there, and you do that because it's another good way to start up a conversation. Other Hebrews, identify that who you're with, or you're able to, someone gets curious, you're able to tell them what's going on. Just another way to bring that light to them.
It doesn't define us. Yeah, but in actuality, Brother Abraham, what did he say the friendship was for? To remind us of what?
To remind us of, you know, what we just went through, what they went through, and they're coming out of Egypt.
No, to remind us of the 600 and something commandments.
That's right.
That's what it's for. It's a personal reminder of the 600 commandments because we had the talith. We used to put this long thing on our arm, and we would open it up like the Power Rangers. Just had, but when you open it up, you can see all 600 commandments and laws. And I forgot what that thing was called right now, but it's to remind us. So if you need them fringes to remind you, then you're not in this thing yet. Every day I walk out this door, I tell myself that I got to keep the commandments. I got scriptures all on the wall and on the door and in my doorposts about these commandments. So you're going to need more than fringes in this hour. You're going to have to commit it to your spirit. He said, in all thy ways, acknowledge me, I'll direct thy path and make the words of thy mouth, you know, like this has to get in your heart. You have to get this in your heart. So wear your fringes. Yeah, I agree. Holy days, we love to wear our fringes. But if you can't do it, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's why that verse came later. He's saying memorize it. So, yeah, you're not going to look at them fringes and know what the 230th commandment is. No, you're not going to know that. So, all right, let's go ahead and get into the rest of Micah.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me bring this back up. Let's see, we're in. Let's see. Hold on. Where are we at? We were verse, shall I be among the Gentiles? Let's see.
No. Number eight.
And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver.
Did you hear what type of what we have in us? Yes. Thank you for saying it like that. He's saying y'all don't even know who y'all are. He said, I got y'all scattered and y'all amongst these people, but y'all like lions just sitting up waiting for the command. Like, just tell me when. I'm going to tear their asses up.
Yep.
That's Micah 5 and 8. It said, let's read it again.
Okay.
And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest. We are the kings. We are Judah. We just sitting back waiting. We're going to pounce. You ever watch the animal shows and the mountains just look at them wildebeest like, tell me when to go.
Yep.
Tell me when to go.
Well, exactly. Like you said.
Tomorrow I talked about big old pit bull that used to want to kill this cat in the house. And I had to train him, and I got him trained. And he would just sit in the living room like, boy, I tell you, if you ever leave me alone with that cat. And that's how we are. I'll tell you, that's how I am. So we don't have to walk around here roaring like, I'm a lion. Yeah, we're going to kill the Edomites. No, we just sitting up here. Micah 5 and 7, we just sitting here waiting like, Yeah, wait till he give us the word.
Give us the word,
and the rest of verse 8 will come to pass. As a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both tread down and will tear into pieces, and ain't nobody coming through it going to be delivered. Wow, that's so powerful, Brother B. Sorry.
It is.
That's encouragement to the people right there, for one. I might have to post that. But go ahead, I'm going to let you finish, because we only got a few more. Go ahead.
All right, verse 9. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thy adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Most High, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots.
And we know he's talking about America's jet fighters, bombers, their space fleet that they're getting ready to create. China's new laser AK-47 that they're going to be using on Hebrews, trying to burn them up.
Yep.
He's talking about destroying all of that.
Well, exactly, because, you know, what they have here doesn't compare to the Most High's weapons.
I mean, the
Most High has things that they haven't even thought about.
Right. And see, that's fallen demon technology that they just find out about. They all excited, like, yeah, we got something for you. You ain't got nothing. The Most High can't
exactly.
just Exactly.
You got what he let you have.
Exactly. And
First
the ones, check this out, Abraham. And the ones that gave him that technology, the watchers, they are shackled up in chains in the darkness waiting for the day of judgment and to go to the lake of fire.
Well, you know, and that's why it's rumored that this whole CERN thing, they're trying to free those watchers.
Right. Yeah, they think they can get them free. Crazy as heck. So, and you know what? What you just said is powerful. That gives validity to the scriptures that people only could see through the bull crap.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using CERN to try to unlock things that are in a spiritual realm and open up doors, So you mean tell me you do believe in the Bible that there's demons shackled up and you want to set them free? So this Bible's real. Right. That's what the sleep mind can't see.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, in the Most High, you know, you do what he's going to allow you to do. I mean, when you look at how the darkness, he put those watchers in, you know, the only way they're getting out of here is if, you know, he allows them to get out. Let's see, where are we at? Verse 11. And I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. And we're still talking about, you know, this Babylonian system.
Right.
And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. You heard that one of these.
I didn't realize, I forgot how powerful Micah 5 is. When he says, I'm going to cut it off, you have to know it exists amongst our people. Witchcraft is very prevalent amongst our people, which is why they can't wake up. And we have a lot of strongholds on us. These are the demons that we talk about. So when he says he's going to break all this, he's saying that he's going to put us in a position in the wilderness. And before we go in the kingdom, where the things that bother us now, they won't even be there. They won't even exist. He's going to throw them down, destroy them. We'll understand what it is to have this peace and freedom and the triumph of holding out and waiting for this deliverance and this true salvation.
Well, just to show you how lost a lot of our people are, a lot of them are turned to voodoo, you know, which is some kind of, you know, African thing, you know, that's not Hebrew, but they turned to voodoo, talking about, yeah, well, that's how the Haitians were able to free themselves, you know. If you think Haiti is free right now, yeah, you need to rethink that, because that's one of the poorest, you know, troubled countries in this world.
Okay.
See, verse 13. Thy graven image also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hand, which a lot of these churches do. You go to Sunday church and you see all kind of works of man. Verse 14. I will pluck up thy grave, thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. Verse 15, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard.
Says, this is a very excellent
mind
chapter
for the Most High.
This is a good one for the 4th of July. This is a good one. Let me say something. From verse 10 to 15, we see that this is a prophecy. It's primarily directed at all of our enemies, but it's also directed at the purge amongst Israel, the separation of the wheat and tare, the burning off of you fake Hebrew Israelites. I'm not about to be worried about y'all and all y'all issues. You better get in where you fit in and keep these commandments. But this is excellent for the 4th of your lives, to encourage the people that this is what he's going to do. So you're right. The churches, they got their images, and this world, their statues are coming down. Their images are coming down. And that's why these people getting upset. These Edomites don't like you taking down their statues and images. But I don't think nobody's realizing that slowly but surely the Most High is fulfilling prophecy like this with images, and we don't even see it in the news. We don't pay attention to it. We're like, wow, guess what's happening right now?
Well, as part of the remnant, we recognize it. But the rest of the world
not everybody sees it, because listen to this. This is what I was about to say. Not everybody has seen it with a spiritual eye. We need to look with a spiritual eye. This is the 4th of July. They're trying to celebrate their independence. But from California all the way to the Midwest, there are 42 forest fires burning up thousands of acres of land. There are multiple states burning up. Almost half of the United States is on fire. Smoke, clouds, and these people are trying to still celebrate and act like it's not happening. And he's hitting the places where predominantly they live and where they got these million-dollar houses. Those are the places that are being hit. And it's not going to stop. And this has been happening every year, and nobody's paying attention.
Yeah, well, and all these fires, that's just the Most High barbecuing.
Nobody's paying attention. These other nations are go on about their business like nothing is happening, but they scared to death, which takes us back to why people do want power like the Haitians and voodoo, because everybody feels powerless and people want power. So they're like, so you mean if I worship Satan, I'll have a little power? I can cast a spell on somebody, make them fall, trip, lose their job, lose their money, do something, die? Okay, let's try this. So the whole world is turning to Satanism.
Well, you know, and just like it said, this will be just like in the days of Noah. People were marrying, giving in marriage. They were doing their own thing. And the funny part about that, or not really funny part, but the thought that I thought was, well, actually, I did think it was funny. You know, after Moses was closed up them doors and they're not allowed in the ark or whatnot, and then they tell him, okay, we'll listen to the Most High now. It's a little too late now. After you find yourself in a bunch of trouble, you're ready to listen. You know, it's just like they said, you know, the thief that's all repentant, you know, he's sorry, but he's just sorry he got caught.
Yeah. There's too much foolishness going on there. We don't have to cry out loud against sin. There's a pharmaceutical company called Gilead. I'm pissed off at the name, too, because they got that off the Bible. A bomb in Gilead. It was called the bomb in Gilead. They're trying to steal all our stuff. And this company has made a drug to help gay men fight 99% of HIV. Take the pill before sex, and you won't catch AIDS. The homosexuals were dancing in the street and celebrating about this drug because they knew that was the only one negative setback to their lifestyle. So now you got the generic brand they came out with if you can't afford the real brand.
Oh, yeah.
And so they have two different pills that they're taking. And check this out. At the same time, everybody's forgetting about the communicable diseases like gonorrhea. There's a new strain of gonorrhea that they have no drugs for that can't be cured. But what they're advertising and promoting is for people to go ahead and start, keep on having anal sex, you'll be fine. We made a drug for y'all. And don't worry about condoms. Just do your thing. This is what this world promotes.
But they're promoting fornication,
right?
You know, so it's okay. It's okay now. We found a way to make it safe.
Shoot, they're not. They promote an abomination.
That's what they promote.
Yeah,
and because what's happening? We're living in a world where everybody's becoming bi-curious because they talk about, I just want to be loved. I just want to be held. I just don't want to be alone. It's a demon. And so they'll run into the arms of the same sex. And people forget that in 1973, homosexuality was considered and is still considered by us a mental illness because he naturally made you and designed you to be created to the opposite sex. But there's another drug called atrazine, which another man, oh my God, hold on, too much coming to my head right now. A black college professor at UC Berkeley discovered atrazine in Roundup. Now I'm realizing atrazine, Roundup, and glyphosate are the same things. And they're spraying it on the vegetables. And this takes away your testosterone, builds up your estrogen, and causes the people to have attraction to the same sex. Boy, Most High got to come get us about this mess.
Well, you know, and plus we know, I mean, scientists have confirmed there is no gay gene out there. People aren't born like that. What happened, a lot of it has to do with the environment and how they're, you know, the surrounding. You know, some of those people were less than when they were kids, and so they are confused and whatnot. So, but you know, they've confirmed that there's no gay gene.
No gay gene. There is no gay gene. This is amazing. So this is the world we live in. But today I just want the people to be encouraged. Micah 5, hold on, there's a remnant. He's going to destroy all this wickedness. It's going to be destroyed. Sit there as a young lion amongst the sheep. Sit there as a lion in the forest. Just wait for your time. And we're going to tear all this madness in pieces. But you got to be composed. Composed. And working on yourself. Building up your appetite. I'm not worried about these homosexuals. I'm not giving in to it. I'm not giving in. I don't mean giving into that lifestyle. I'm not giving into the fact that they think they run the world now. And if you don't go along with them, they'll shut you down.
These homosexuals.
Well, just like we mentioned, you know, they're a small minority of people. You know, maybe 1% or so, 2%. But they have a great majority of of people who follow their lifestyle in the elite, the ones that are controlling things.
Yeah, there's a city up here called Dixon, California, where the vice mayor said, we're going to have a straight Pride Day because, you know, we got straight folks around here, too. And we need to celebrate homosexuality and building the heterosexuality,
yeah,
and building of the families. And they want him out of office. Them homosexuals have,
yeah,
gotten together to 1% and said, get him out of office now.
Well, that's how they are. You know, they want you to be tolerant of their lifestyle and how they are, but they don't have any tolerance for the heterosexual lifestyle at all.
Nah, we're an enemy to them. But, you know, wish we Hebrews need to have a straight pride parade come together.
I
heard
that,
well, all praises to the Most High for the reading of Micah, the fifth chapter. Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, this time went by really fast this morning, Brother V.
Yeah, it did. It's 9:05. Yes, it did.
Yeah, so give me time to go out and check my grill.
Are we invited? are we invited to come?
If you don't mind those baby bags and scrimps and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's 4th of July food. As a matter of fact, I was harassing my sister the other day because she's getting her grill together and they're going to get their ribs and everything else. I said, what are you eating that filthy animal for? So I was giving her a bunch of crap. She's all ready and set for the day. And as are a lot of our people.
That ain't 4th of July food. That's Lake of Fire food.
I'm telling you.
That's Lake of Fire.
It's an abomination.
It's an abomination,
yeah,
to the Most High. He said if you eat it, that you actually cause your soul to become abominable. You curse yourself eating that food. So don't you be sitting up there lusting after, oh, man, I might eat pork ribs, the sauce dripping off. The scripture tells us it's an abomination to your soul. You're destroying your soul by eating some damn ribs and crab and shrimp.
Hey, Brother V, they got a kung fu grip on that because I'm talking to my sister. Ain't no way she's going to let her ribs go. You know, I mean, I realized that, you know, at that time, you know, I was just, that was a hopeless argument for me because she was getting ready for 4th of July.
Yeah, man. Well, the thing about it is that's not eating food. So y'all going to eat them natural garbage disposals. When you get sick and you laid up talking about I need chemo and radiation, well, we will know why.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know,
you know,
why you can eat abominable foods.
You know, I was reading the Josephus. And he's talking about the lake of fire and talking about hell and everything else. He said when people they're going to be resurrected, the righteous will be resurrected with this you know, new body without disease or anything else, but that the wicked will be resurrected, but they'll still have all those diseases on them that they had when they passed. I was reading that in the works of Josephus.
That's a good one. I'm trying to. You just had sparked something to memory because I was reading something like that too. That was talking about the fact that we would live for thousands of years and have thousands of kids and repopulate the earth. We'll have long life. We'll eat from the tree. There's another book that I discovered, the Book of Luminaries. This is just a lot of information out there, people, that we need to avail ourselves to, that give us insight as to what's promised to those that keep the commandments and the children of Israel. That's a good one too. Josephus is a very good book.
Yes.
All right, my brother. I'll let you go ahead. Continue doing what you're doing.
All right. Like I said, just enjoying this glorious day that the Most High has brought, and I'm just trying to stay on the right path and to obey those laws, statutes, and commandments, and just, you know, give all praises and honor to the Most High.
We're lions amongst the heathen, waiting to dance to the crowd, because these are the enemies of Yah. But don't hate on them. Do all things with love.
Yeah.
You know, the angels are watching. The angels are watching, Hebrews. They're taking notes on your behind. There's an angel sitting right next to you now, like, let's see what she's thinking.
Yeah. Hey, I'm fixing them up. Why did he say, let's see what she thinking?
Right. It's always, I'm not giving in to you either because you'll flip on me too. So it is.
silly women laden with sins.
I'm not
whatever.
We don't
do women's lib around here, and we don't do equal lib. There's an order, a divine order to this thing, and we're gonna keep that order divine. Boom.
Don't fight. Just for that, don't fire up the grill for him.
Ain't nothing getting fired up around here.
I heard that.
I'm about to look at my window, out my window now, looking at, they got a parade right in front of my window.
There's
a parade and
it's funny you mentioned that. I remember growing up with that. Every 4th of July, we go downtown and watch the parade. I forget about that they had the 4th of July parades.
Brother D, they waiting on you. They got a chair. And waiting on you.
And you got some pomegranate wine, too. Funny.
I'm telling you, shoot. All right.
All right, family out there listening, we say shalom to you. Keep the faith. Don't give in. Don't go out there to that madness. And keep your head up. Keep these commandments.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.